This is a recording of the story Dispatch by Sophie Calatayan, recorded by Don't Need a Classroom for Pod Together 2024. Fandom, the Goblin Emperor series by Catherine Addison. Characters, Xevet Isava, Maya Drajar. Additional tags, pre-canon, and alternate POV. The letter weighs heavily in his dispatch case. As Xevet hurries through the midnight dark corridors of the Enthalinesa court, he clutches his burden tightly to his chest. He is fully conscious of the tremendous import of the message with which he has been entrusted. It is rare for a courier to be dispatched with a single letter to a solitary recipient, for Captain Volsherij dislikes inefficiencies. But tonight of all nights, this letter, of all letters, cannot be delayed. The world has been tilted off center, and the normal rules and patterns of behavior no longer apply. The halls are dark, but not empty, although it is quieter than it normally would be, even in the depths of the night. The remaining silent figures drift along their solitary paths in the service of tasks and duties unknown. As Xevet passes, he does not stop to talk with any faces he may recognize, acknowledging his own sense of urgency. He wonders if those who have absented themselves are hiding out of fear, of uncertainty, or something else. All of the Elflands had irrevocably changed that morning, and there is no telling what tomorrow will bring. The radiance of Kairato hangs like a thundercloud, dark and low over the mooring mast of the Enthalinesa court. Xevet presents his orders from the Chancellor to the crewman waiting at the bottom of the mast, and is greeted with nothing more than a faintly annoyed twitch of an ear before being waved up the staircase. He is not surprised that his orders are incommodious to the airship crew, but urgent as they are, it cannot be helped. Xevet alights the spiral staircase at a hasty clip, the metal treads ringing faintly musical in the damp night air as he scurries his way up the mast. The airship's small passenger cabin is filled almost to capacity. Despite the lateness of the hour and the horrific tragedy which had that morning decapitated the government, an event which, under normal circumstances, would prompt most people to hesitate to step foot on a craft so similar to the one which had recently exploded in a deadly conflagration, the necessities of the Empire must prevail. The outer hatch closes with a clang, and Xevet turns to see the grim-faced crewman from the base of the mooring mast make his way through the cabin. The crew of the airship go about their duties with an air of nervous efficiency that reflects the tension in the air. Xevet takes his seat and holds himself still with the willpower earned through years of practice. It was not, he thinks, a reward that he was selected for this delivery. He knows he is not envied by the others. When he received his dispatch from the Chancellor, he was instructed to depart immediately. He did not have time to return to his lodgings or make the usual arrangements. He did not, therefore, have the opportunity to meet with the other couriers waiting for orders to get their reaction to such a prospect. But Xevet saw the way that the Chancellor's secretaries failed to meet his eyes as he received his orders and the letter. He sees the cluster of couriers sitting across from him on the Radiance of Kairato now, stiffly in their seats, pale and drawn in the dim light. Xevet contemplates the courage that it takes to continue about as normal in the wake of tragedy. To carry out one's duties when not a day ago the very actions one is required to undertake to do so were the cause of numerous horrific deaths is no easy thing. He does not think of himself as brave. Rather, Xevet has not allowed himself to contemplate too deeply the possibility that what happened to the Wisdom of Chiharo will happen again. It is perhaps willful ignorance, but Xevet has faced terror before, and he's learned that sometimes the only way to continue forwards is to ignore the past. It is not perhaps the wisest course of action, but it is one that continues to carry him through. As the captain announces their change in itinerary, which, of course, Xevet already knows, he takes a deep breath and focuses on the other passengers. The passenger manifest of the Radiance of Kairato includes four couriers in addition to Xevet, Amaza, and two missioners, bound for parts unknown. Xevet supposes that the latter three likely intended to depart earlier and were delayed due to that morning's events, while the couriers likely bear messages of political urgency. He knows, even before the captain confirms the decision, that his errand will supersede them all. The youngest of the couriers looks like he is about to hyperventilate. Another has turned quite green. The third is taking sips out of a flask that likely contains something that, under ordinary circumstances, would get him thrown out of the courier service for drunkenness on duty, but Xevet can't imagine that anyone will mention it tonight. The fourth courier appears to be asleep, though Ksevet can't help but wonder if it is a ruse, projecting self-confidence where there is none. He does not know any of them beyond the faint echo of a half-remembered face without a name. It is clear that it is the young, the inexperienced, the derelict, and the ill-favored that have been selected for courier duties tonight. The Maza sits absentmindedly in the corner, surrounded by valises and stacks of books tied with twine. Occasionally, she opens a little notebook and makes a note with a pen. Ksevet wonders if she's even noticed that anything untoward has happened at all beyond the delay of the airship's departure. The missioners pray. It is a blessedly short trip to Adonimi. 2 hours by airship, far preferable to the week the journey would take otherwise. With the drone of the engines, conversation is impossible, and Ksevet takes the opportunity to read the letter entrusted to his care. Using the tricks well known amongst the couriers, it is simple to open and close a letter without revealing that the seal has been tampered with. Although his fellow passengers are consumed with their own concerns and anxieties, Ksevet secrets the letter behind his dispatch case as he reads. He rereads the letter through once, twice, three times. It is a strain to keep his expression and ears level. There is politics at work here, and he does not like it. Shavar is playing a dangerous game, and Ksevet hopes that the new emperor is up to the challenge. However, he's only a courier, and no one asked his opinion on the matter. He carefully returns the letter to his case. The path to the house at Adonimi is winding and overgrown, and the sky remains dark and clouded. Ksevet hurries as quickly as he can without twisting an ankle on a stray root or errant mouse hole, shivering in the damp night air. He can see no lights lit in the lodge ahead, and hopes that there will be a servant to greet him. The sound of the heavy brass knocker echoes ominously, but Ksevet is greeted quicker than he had anticipated by a tall and thin servant who shows him to a small and dingy receiving room and lights a pair of oil lamps before hurrying off to wake his master. Ksevet is truly bewildered for perhaps the first time in this entire affair. He sets his dispatch case down on a small table next to an unlit fireplace and briskly runs his hands together to try and warm them, for the room is barely warmer than the road outside. He knows, as all in the Anthelanese court know, that the Archduke has been relegated by his father, but these are truly shocking conditions in which to find the new Emperor of the Elflands. It will not do to let his surprise show on his face, and Ksevet schools his expression to neutrality as the door opens to reveal the flesh-faced figure that must be Setharus Nellar, followed by a slight young man in rumpled clothes, his dark hair pulled back in a single braid and a look of solemn dignity upon his face. Ksevet fixes his gaze intently upon this figure. This is not at all what he expected, if he had let himself expect anything at all. He isn't sure what shocks him the most, the ill-fitting, worn-out clothes so unsuitable for an imperial heir, or the wary Drajada gray eyes that fix him sharply in their gaze. This is not the imbecile of which the court gossips whisper. Still, despite the Drajada eyes, he must be sure. Are you, the Archduke Maya Drajar, only child of Varanet Shabel IV and Chanelo Drajaran? He asks. Yes, the young man replies. Ksevet draws upon all of his most careful etiquette training, bringing to bear everything he has ever learned about the rules and mannerisms of the court, for it is in this moment he knows that he will deliver the most fateful message of his entire career, to fold himself into the precise obeisance of one saluting the Emperor of the Elflands. Your Imperial Serenity. The End. If you enjoyed this story, please leave a comment for the author at archiveofourown.org/works/5761-0855. If you enjoyed my reading of the story, a comment on this story's post is always appreciated. Rocket agrees. You can find me at archiveofourown.org/users/don't-need-a-classroom. Hey, Rocket.